It's open air on the Rhythm and News service of Jefferson Public Radio, also streaming online at ijpr.org. I'm Eric Thiel. We've got another great live session in store for you today. Joining me here in the JPR studios is ZZ Ward and her band. ZZ, welcome to Jefferson Public Radio.
Thank you for having me.
You are from Roseburg, or actually, more accurately, because we're here in the state of Jefferson, Glide?
Yeah, I am. It's really crazy to be back here right now. Yeah, I'm from Roseburg, and I moved to LA about 3 years ago. And I always knew I wanted to be a recording artist and had a lot of big dreams. And so,
Yeah, much different setting, Los Angeles from Southern Oregon, right?
Mostly driving was the biggest thing for me.
Yeah.
Like going to LA, I was like really scared. Like one night someone was like, "You should come meet me at the Viper Room." I'm like, "Can you come pick me up? Because I can't, I can't get there."
So, ZZ, is that a childhood nickname or?
Yeah, my name is Zhuzhana, and there's two Z's in my name. So it was kind of, you know, Zhuzhana's a little hard to say. So ZZ was my nickname.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You said that you knew early on that you wanted to be a recording artist. When did you actually start playing music?
I started playing in my dad's blues band when I was like 13. I'd go out and I'd sing like, we'd cover like Make Love to You. So I just got into the blues like early.
So you kind of had your own take on what kind of music you wanted to make years ago, early on.
I don't know if it was that so much. It was just more or less in such a small place, you know, a small city. I would basically just try to find opportunities or avenues to play music. Mm. So it was my dad's blues band first. And then I was like, what else can I do? And I was up in Eugene one night. It was like a 16 and under, like, open, you know, club night. And I went in there, and they had this big, like, hip-hop scene going on. So I just kind of was, you know, I went up to the guy who was running it, and I was like, I should sing for you guys. And he was like, who, you know? I don't know, okay, who's this girl? So it was just, like, it was just finding, you know, any music around that I could kind of get into. But yeah, I grew up listening to hip hop and blues mostly. Yeah. So
I read that your dad owned a pair of Hammond B3 organs. Is that true? Who owns two?
My dad. he would get them at like secondhand stores and kind of start collecting them.
So is that kind of what you started playing with at first?
Well, yeah, because we didn't have a piano or anything. And I kind of had that. I had like, I could get that, you know, in my hands before I could get a guitar. So, yeah, I think I wrote one of my first songs on, like, you know, organ.
That's cool. So when did guitar come along?
Probably when I was, like, I don't know, 18, maybe? Yeah, it was a little later. I remember, like, the lead guitar player in my dad's blues band taught me how to play. And so I remember, like, I first started playing it, and then I was kind of, like, I just felt kind of intimidated by it. And then once I started learning some chords, and it just kind of opened up a whole world for me to be able to write music and write songs. So that was exciting. And then I just kind of dove into it from there.
A little more portable, too.
Yeah, than a Hammond B3, for sure.
ZZ Ward is my guest live on Open Air on the Rhythm and News service of Jefferson Public Radio, also streaming at ijpr.org. Can we hear a tune?
Yes. We'll play a song called Put the Gun Down.
Sky, my back to the wall, my white flag high. Her lips just like a gun, she's got silver bullets on her tongue. Heels deep under her spell, I'm screaming now, but it just won't help. I think I'm crazed, I hail you first. Bad line of mercy, you don't wanna break my heart. Take what's mine, don't hurt me, steal my money and steal my kite. Don't take my man, don't take my man. My man took him for me. She's got crimson eyes, a screaming body. Face is young, she must taste sweet. She drops those pennies to her knees. Walking on my happy home. She won't give up until I'm gone. I think I'm cursed. I hail you first. Adeline and Mercy, you don't wanna break my heart. Take what's mine, don't hurt me. Steal my money and steal my kite. Don't take my man. My man, I said, don't take my man, 'cause you know it, you can't. you got now. Put it down, put it down, put it down, put it down. Put the gun down, put the gun down. Oh, I'ma set fire to the whole damn house. So put it down, put it down, put it down, put it down. Oh, Adeline, Adeline, have mercy. You don't wanna break my heart. Take what's mine, don't hurt me. Steal my money and steal my guy. Don't take my man.
It's ZZ Ward live on Jefferson Public Radio's Rhythm and News Service, also streaming online at ijpr.org. Put the Gun Down. It is on the new EP that we have been playing, which is a precursor to a full-length album, which is due soon. We will talk about that in just a moment. It's a live session on open air on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio with ZZ Ward, who's got a brand new EP out and a full-length due in just a few. So we just heard the music. Let's talk about the sound. What do you describe your music as? I have heard some interesting terminology.
Well, I think it's always tricky when asked to describe your music, to kind of put it in a genre. I would just say it's kind of gritty, dirty, bluesy hip-hop stuff.
And what do you take from each? What do you take from blues?
I think from the blues and from hip-hop, what I like is the honesty and the sincerity from the artists. I feel like when they're telling stories, and I feel like they really are committed to the stories that they're telling. And so in making this record, I really kind of, you know, was bearing my soul in a lot of ways, but really kind of when I sing these songs every night when I tour, I think about all the music that I listened to growing up and how the artists that I appreciated were committed to their music. So that's mostly what I liked about the blues and hip hop and the rhythms, for sure.
Now, knowing that your dad was in a blues band, is that band still gigging? By the way, are they still playing? No.
You know, they kind of just stopped when I left.
Aw.
So, yeah.
One of the things that didn't surprise me much, knowing that you kind of came from a family that was, really involved in blues music and had a couple of Hammonds, is folks like Muddy Waters that you named as an influence, and, mm-hmm. and Big Mama Thornton, and even Tina Turner. Mm-hmm. But I was intrigued by you listing Alan Lomax.
Yeah.
You know, this guy that collected all of these field songs, all these historic recordings.
Yeah, it's interesting because I got into Alan Lomax when I was in L.A., and it really kind of inspired me to make this record. A lot of the simplistic melodies of those recordings that he did, and just the openness and of those recordings, and a lot of the harmonies are just really inspired me. And kind of, I don't know. I just got on this track of writing these songs for this record, and those sounds really.
Do you remember who it was that first turned you on to Alan Lomax recordings? I mean, it's not the kind of thing that you just stumble across on the shelf at a music store.
I think it was a writer. I think I was in a co-write session. And I ended up writing most of the stuff for the songs for my record by myself. But I had done a lot of co-writing, which kind of, you know, introduced me to a lot of really talented people in L.A. But I think it was someone that I wrote with in a co-write. He was like, you know, he knew that I liked the blues. And he was like, have you ever really listened to, like, Alan Lomax? And then I started listening to his recordings, and I was just like, you know, it just got me really excited. Yeah. So,
well, there are a lot of them.
Yeah, yeah, lots.
So as you're starting to put together this musical confluence of blues and hip-hop music, were you then showcasing it in Roseburg and places around there publicly?
I had, you know, I had some demos that I would do that I would record, like, at my house, and I would sell them kind of wherever I could, and like in parking lots and then sometimes I would go up to Eugene just to kind of get out of the same area that I was kind of selling my music at, and I would go up there, and I would busk, and, you know, so I kind of I feel like I've worked from the ground up, for sure.
And this is not your first album, right? There are others that are out there. They're a little difficult to get your hands on. But
well, I don't know. This is the first record that I feel like is really, you know, is really me.
Yeah.
I think that the other things were demos. They were, you know, I didn't, it was like, I think that I was in a small town and I didn't really know how to get started.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't know kind of what the next step was. And
yeah.
it was just a big leap to go to the city, and I slept on an air mattress for like 2 years, but
right.
Whatever.
Well, I want to talk about that transition, but before we do, let's hear another tune.
Okay. We'll play a song called Last Love Song.
We were never the marrying type. Oh no, we won't buy dishes or stained glass lights. For a table we'll never sit at. In the house that we won't ever get. I won't wake up and pick out your tie. Oh no, you won't come home and kiss me at night. We won't lie in this king bed for two. Say goodbye to us saying I do. No more white picket fences. No more lace spells of ours. No more, you're the only one. Cause that's all done with now. This is the last love song I'll for you. This is the last love song I'll ever write for you. Take these roses and this Jameson. Oh no, find a subway that I can sit in. Buy one way out of the city. Everything that I need, got you with me. No more white picket fences. No more lace spells of ours. No more, you're the only one. Cause that's all done with my. This is the last love song I'll ever write for you. This is the last love song I'll ever write for you. All these notes and all these words are all that's left in me. Fill these pages, count my walls. One last song to set me free. No more lace fell over. You're the only one. Cause that's all gone with now. This is the last love song I'll ever write for you. This is the last love song I'll ever write for you.
It's ZZ Ward live on Open Air on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio, online at ijpr.org. So ZZ, how does all of this transcend Southern Oregon? I mean, at some point, you've definitely got to sort of muster up the courage to just get in a car and drive, and LA was the destination. How did that all come about?
My brother's down there. So I had some family down there, but I definitely, like, it was one of the scariest things I've ever done in my life, because I knew I needed to get out of the small town that I was in if I wanted to find a bigger music scene and just be able to get my music heard by more people. It was very, very scary. And I moved down to LA. I didn't know where to start or what to do. I just started, like, you know, I was just calling places and then figuring out places. I started booking my own shows, and you know, promoters would be like, "Well, how many people can you get out to a show?" And I'd be like, "Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm from Oregon." And then they'd be like, "Well, we can't book you here." So quickly you said, "Well, I can bring a lot of people." And you know, you just I just started playing everywhere I could.
Were you trying to hold down like a regular part-time day job kind of thing too, or?
No, I mean, I would kind of, I would sell my music if I needed to, you know, try to make some cash. That's kind of what I would do in Roseburg. So it's something that I knew how to do. It wasn't something that I really liked to do though. You know, it's kind of, it slowly turns into kind of a different thing, 'cause you start getting away from the music and more into, like, you know, talking to people. But it definitely, like, pushed me out of my comfort zone to walk up to strangers and meet people and talk to them about my music. But
so was there a specific moment that you could point to as sort of being the big break, or was it just sort of steady growth?
I would say that my biggest break was probably getting the opportunity to make a record. Mm. So, you know, getting signed. And I had really kind of been locked away writing a lot of this material, and I knew what record I wanted to make. And I think as an artist, you have to know what you want. You have to know what you want to do, and then, you know, find a team and find people that support that and are in love with the music that you're creating. So I feel like I did, and that was probably my big break, I would say.
Yeah, I remember reading that, you know, in addition to you sort of distributing your music out and sending demos to people and you know, dropping things in the mail, that there were also people that were seeking you out, or at least looking for artists that were interesting and compelling and had a unique vision online.
Yeah, it's really interesting because my manager actually was looking about, like, when I first moved to LA, I got a random email, and he said that he had heard me on MySpace. It was kind of the tail end of MySpace. He wanted to find an artist, and he searched Oregon, and I popped up. He heard me, and I've worked with him ever since.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
You mentioned that you envisioned the kind of album you wanted to make, and at least in the EP, I mean, we've only got four songs from it so far, but there are a lot of people collaborating on the album. You know, you've got a full band now, and by the way, we should take a moment to acknowledge the fact that you're not in here by yourself. Who have you brought today?
Well, I have Eric Walls to my right on guitar, and I have Royce Shorter Jr. over here on the...
Welcome, you guys.
Cajon, killing it.
So you said you had a pretty good idea of what the album was to be, but when you get through the studio process, you know, how closely did that final product match what was in your head when you started?
I think that you don't really necessarily know how anything is going to turn out. But the cool thing was with this record, I really got to work with some amazing producers. Ryan Tedder is producing on the record. Pete Rock, I actually worked with Pete Rock. Fitz from Fitz and the Tantrums wrote a song with me. Nephew. Ali Shaheed Muhammad from Tribe Called Quest. I think that definitely everyone that worked with me on this record really just, you know, we had fun making the record, but we didn't stop until we were really, really proud of these songs, you know. And I was very specific with, you know, there's some electric guitar on the record, but I only played acoustic on the record because I kind of wanted that back porch bluesy feel. So there were certain themes that I kind of stuck with and didn't want to go outside of, you know. I knew that I had the songs, and you don't know how they're going to be when they're produced, but I'm really happy with how everything turned out.
And did you write all the tunes, or are you also using things from other songwriters?
Mostly, I wrote on every track on the record. Most of the album I wrote by myself, but there were some other writers that wrote with me. Super talented. Excited about those songs.
So tell me about what the last 3 months or maybe 6 months has been like for you. I know you did a little showcase at South by Southwest.
Touring. It's been touring pretty much since April. And we went over to Europe and toured Europe, and I've toured with Alan Stone and Fitz and the Tantrums, and now I'm going up the coast with Grace Potter. So you know, a different part of it, but I think the coolest thing for me, which I'd never really experience before is I'll go to places like Chicago and New York, cities that I've never been to, and I have people, I have fans that are coming out and they know all the words to my songs.
Even before the album's out.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And that's it changes. It's a game changer for me. I mean, I've always made music because I love making music and I'm passionate about writing, but when you start to get fans, it's like, it's just a whole different thing.
Yeah. Just from looking at you, I'm guessing it's not been all that many years from the time you decided you wanted to be a recording artist to now. What's the thing that has been the most unexpected about the way it actually is compared to the way you had envisioned it in your head?
I think that it's something that if you want to be a recording artist, you dedicate your life to it. There's no other option. There's no backup plan, because it's something that, you start to kind of, when you start to have people that love your songs and connect with your lyrics, it's like, I feel like you start to make music for a lot more people than just yourself. So that would kind of be, I grew up wanting to be a recording artist, but it's definitely, it's a big thing. It's a lot of.
Well, let me ask you a question about the statement you just made then. I know that on the spectrum, some artists are really into performing live. Some artists, either because that's what they're interested in or because the kind of music they make doesn't lend itself well to live performance, are big into recording albums. And you use the term, you wanted to be a recording artist. But where do you fall in that spectrum of wanting to make albums, wanting to make this sort of lasting, physical thing, although nowadays it's mostly digital, but this lasting product compared to that live performance aspect?
It's a good question. I think that they're two very different things, but I think that, I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind when you ask that question is that when people listen to this record and they connect with these songs, when you go to whatever state they're in or whatever country they're in and you play it for them, it just means so much, you know? And if I can do that for my fans, then I want to do that.
Yeah. So. Well, the EP came out 3-4 weeks ago, something like that. The full length is due soon, right? It's got a release date sometime.
September 18th. I feel like the record is about the ups and downs of, relationships, and that it's not always this, beautiful, glorious story. Sometimes it can be dirty and gritty and a word that I can't say probably on the radio.
Right, not on public radio for sure, right? So you mentioned that you've got tour dates with Grace Potter and the Nocturnals. Yeah. Is there a future return home for a performance that you're aware of?
Oh my gosh. No, not yet. But it's interesting because, I mean, I'm so excited to play in Oregon. This will be like the first time that I've played since I moved to LA.
Yeah.
But it is like,
does that feel different?
3 hours north.
Does that give you a little bit more nerves or a little more pressure? Because so many people that
honestly,
have known you.
I know this is really weird. I don't get nervous when I play, but my dad's going to be at some of these shows. And it's funny how everyone has their kind of Achilles heel. Uh-huh. I don't know. I'm not nervous, but there's that kind of sometimes that one person that you're like. I mean, you might feel that way too.
Right.
It's like if your mom's there, you're like.
And is he is he critical of the stuff you do or just really supportive, or has he helped you?
He's so supportive. Super supportive. I mean, he just like he's always, checking out stuff online and just, loving it. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have gone into music. He taught me how to sing, and so that's why I feel like I'm kind of a tough singer, because a guy taught me how to sing. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm thrilled that you were finally able to stop by and visit us here at Jefferson Public
Thank
Radio.
Thank you so much.
It's kind of a nice completion of the circle.
It's amazing to be here.
ZZ Ward is my guest, live on open air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. The new album due out in September.
Yes.
Do we have time for one more tune?
Yeah. Push that yard down to the and hit that gas pedal.
It's ZZ Ward live on Open Air on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio, online at ijpr.org. ZZ, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Congratulations on the new album. Good luck for the rest of the summer.
Thank you.
Open Air continues right after this.